that was specifically to dark-skinned women. So could you imagine being a dark-skinned woman and reading that? I'm sorry, fuck off about, oh, I love everybody of the same hue and complexion. Fuck off. Like, what do you mean? You're not even addressing colorism. You're acting, you're going back and forth between addressing colorism and racism. Like, what is this? Like, it's not about skin color because we're all black. It's about complexion. It's about you pitting yourself against me in our community, within our community, outside of other skin colors, because you feel like even with racism and all these other things that we all experience as a unit, you are positioning yourself as someone above me because of your complexion, not skin color, complexion. There is a distinction between colorism and racism. That's number one.
Like, you know, I came round with a new flow. They wanna try take the style and the flow, but they're too slow. I could roll solo, the whole team got my back. Think that you're fucking with me, oh no. Wiz Khalifa, I want all of the smoke. Yeah, I've been at it, baby, don't act like you can't see me. And anytime we pulling up, yeah, you know that I'm with my G's. I'm about my P's. And the team's on breeze. I finesse with ease. Need my wrist on freeze. Back up in this. Back up in this, bitch. Back up in this. Back up in this, bitch. Back up in this. You up in that, hey, baby. Pulling up, yeah, you know that I'm cool. Slim fit, pretty chick, entrance, ball slick. Pulling on my arm, don't know how to handle a bitch. Leading the pack, maybe why I'm getting the stick. I just hustle, I don't take no shit. Nigga, you must be sick. I ain't stepping out for no change. Pulling up in what vein? Brother, is you insane? I just copped the Benz already, looking at a new range. Go grind and obtain, that's just how I maintain. I feel pain, I don't take no violation. Put my hands on you, that's an annihilation. I'll back off my wig and do that shit quick. All you see is rips, no tips and lip slips. And I ain't talking about no trolls on Twitter. Whole over, got these bitches moving.
Hi guys, welcome to the Underrated Podcast with your host Hannah OJ. You guys, we might have to start getting used to the fact that you might just be hearing from me. I'm getting used to the fact that as a single host podcaster, if something happens with my guest, essentially it's just me out here in these streets. So, and that's okay, because I personally feel like I'm entertaining enough. I guess I'll leave you guys to be the judges of that. But yeah, so it's just going to be, I thought I would actually trial a solo episode today. Cause usually, as you guys know that I have listened to those episodes, those episodes that I have had to do solo segments, it's just been a segment. And then I've had an entertainment segment with a guest, but today I've actually been inspired by the Classic Manny. So I don't know if you guys listen to the Classic Manny show. It's a great podcast. You should check it out. Look at me promoting another podcast, but I don't mind. I love Manny. He's so sweet. And I was inspired by an episode he did a couple months ago, because I only just recently started listening to his podcast, maybe a few months ago. So yeah, I was really inspired by, because obviously he's a single host podcaster as well. It's his show. So he had an episode just by himself, and apparently he does that from time to time, because he did say at the start of the episode that, you know, I thought it's time to do it again kind of thing. And it was such a great, entertaining episode. He was so funny, so commanding. Like, it really made me laugh, and I could really relate. And I think it's such an invaluable experience when, even if you're not meeting them, when you're hearing from or watching someone that they're just coming up with all of these things, you're like, oh my God, that's me. Because everything he was saying, I was just like, oh my God, yes. Snaps for you. I'm feeling it, because yeah, he was just opening up on a lot of things, like, you know, him being a Cancer, me too, a fellow Cancer, who's had to basically do a lot of work to love themselves and to be, I'm still there, I'm still on in the journey, so I'm still on my way. I feel like I am there, but I'm, you know, it's hard. So yeah, he was just speaking about that and how much work he had to do in loving himself and making sure that you attract the right people and the right circle. And it was just, it was such an inspiring episode. And I was just like, well, this was entertaining and delightful. So why couldn't I do this myself? Because I'm one of those people that I'm very confident in my abilities. Like, I know I'm good with speaking to people and with, you know, just expressing myself in general. But the world we live in, unfortunately, it kind of is ready to make you feel like shit, essentially. And for someone like me, a bitch with anxiety, who's quite sensitive at nature, I try and be as tough as possible, knowing the world that we live in, that, you know, you have to. But it is hard sometimes. And you know, you feel like I'm not ashamed of being vulnerable and sensitive. Do you know what I mean? Like, I like tapping into that part of me. Like, that's a part of what makes me, you know? So you don't want to shun that or make it seem like it's a bad thing, but you also don't want people to take advantage of it. And one new thing I've recently discovered is when you're having a debate or a conversation about certain complex things, people often, when they know that you are sensitive or vulnerable, they like to take advantage of it and dismiss what you're saying and acting like you're just being emotional. And that infuriates me beyond belief. It's so annoying because, yes, I am that bitch. I can be a bit sensitive sometimes, but doesn't mean, like, I don't know why people feel like you being passionate about something equates to you being wrong or you not being able to see things clearly. Just because you can't see what I'm talking about doesn't mean that I'm wrong. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, so things like that are things I've discovered recently, but I'm you know, recently finding the strength to just be, I don't know, be comfortable being myself, I guess. I don't know. I guess that seems like a lesson I probably shouldn't have only started to learn properly at 28 or 27, but it is what it is. Life is not always easy. So here we go. So yeah, so today it's just going to be me. So it's not going to be the longest episode. It's going to be a pretty compact one because I'm not going to, you know, bore you guys with the sound of my voice for hours and hours. But there are a few things I wanted to discuss today. So let's start off with music, as usual. So yesterday, a single called Dip came out featuring the likes of Steph London and Miss Banks. Love Miss Banks. Sorry, I have to say that every time I say a name because I love Miss Banks. And I like Steph London as well. I like her music. So I was very, very intrigued for this because it seemed like this was their first collaboration. I actually did do a little bit of research though, and I joined an Instagram live they did yesterday. I'll get into that later because I actually really appreciate that live. It was really good. So I really appreciate that they did that for us to actually have, you know, a little bit of insight and context into how the project came about. But they actually have collaborated before. I Steph London mentioned that in the live too. So they'd collaborated a couple times before, but it seemed like it was a freestyle as opposed to a song. So I did look up, you know, what they have done in the past, and it does look like they have freestyled a few years ago. Been on a freestyle a few years ago. By the way, I should find it and look for it, but I just can't be bothered because it wasn't even very good. Like, not on their part. The guy whose freestyle it was a remix of a song that he'd done, and it was. I won't drag him completely because it was mainly just the hook and a small maybe 4-part verse, but it was terrible. It was just trash, and I was like, oh god. And obviously he had Steph London and Miss Banks on the remix as well. And they both went in. I think personally, Steph London killed it. Miss Banks, you could tell this was a few years before she was in her prime. She was in her bag, you know, because it was a good verse, but it wasn't reflective of how fire Miss Banks is. So, but it was interesting to see them together. And they looked clearly comfortable together. It was really interesting because her and Steph looked clearly comfortable together, which made me think, okay, because initially when I saw that this was a collaboration between the two of them that just kind of randomly came about, they only announced it a couple of days before it actually came out, I did think it was an attempt at Steph London to show female unity with one of the most, I would say, respected and best female artists in the UK, being Miss Banks. So I think this was an attempt to kind of, you know, fixed her old mistakes with beefing Nicki Minaj and essentially being a little bit distanced from a lot of the other female rappers, even though she is the biggest to come out of the UK at the moment. So I do think that initially I looked at it that way. But then, and even in the live, it seemed like they were cool, but it didn't seem like they were friends, you know? So it just didn't seem like it was, but that's nothing wrong with that. We don't all have to be friends. But, it was just me trying to figure out exactly what is this relationship. Is it like we're girls and this is something that we're finally doing? Do you know what I mean? After all this time, oh my God, I can't believe we're only doing it now. Or is it a, you know what? Let's come together. Let's do this and let's just make it lit. And it was interesting. So it seemed like Steph was quite comfortable with Miss Banks in that initial freestyle. But judging off of what I've seen in the live, and it seems like that was very intentional on Steph's part. And it's interesting as well that they are collaborating because Miss Banks has a relationship with Nicki Minaj. And I'm sure from what I've heard her say in the past, she's very intent on keeping that relationship. because she loves Nicki. So, and obviously she has a relationship with her, whether she's actually performed with her and things like that. She probably feels some kind of loyalty to her as well as it being business. So I was a bit surprised to see this, but not that shocked because it's Steph London. Like I said, she's big. Do you know what I mean? Like she's, you know, the biggest female artist in the UK, arguably. So it wasn't like, you know, I feel like Miss Banks has got to do what she's got to do kind of thing. But I'm pretty sure she patterned Steph before that Instagram live and was like, all of these questions about Nicki, ignore them. Make sure you don't speak her name. You ain't saying nothing, okay? So I'm not mad at this collaboration, ultimately. I'm here for it. But I love the cover as well, even when I saw the album cover that they dropped a couple of days before. So it looks very extraterrestrial-inspired vibes. Steph London actually expounded on that in the live. It was meant to be inspired from Doja Cat. Obviously, if you guys are fans of Doja Cat, you know that she dips into the extraterrestrial, you know, she's inspired from extraterrestrial aesthetic quite a lot in her videos and her outfits and from time to time and things like that. So yeah, it makes sense. And that's exactly what the album cover gives you. You don't really even see their outfits, to be honest. They lean forward, posed with their hands framing their face and just, yeah, literally with their hands resting their face with big sunglasses on their face. So you don't actually really see much of them or their expression. Just, you know, just us being bad bitches, just perched here, you know? And they got the braided antennas coming out of their wigs, which I love. I really like that. And Steph, I remember she said she wanted to go with her signature aquamarine blue look that she kind of came out with, but it's actually a dip dye ombre kind of wig, which is purple at the end. So I think she did say she wanted to change up. She didn't really expound on why she changed the hair color, so I'm not sure why she switched that up. Miss Banks got a pink wig on, so she picked her color, which was pink, so she didn't change hers. So I really like the album cover. It's very simple. It's nothing too extra special and splashing in too much in your face, you know? But it's cute. I like it. And it definitely gives you a vibe that it's going to be like an extraterrestrial theme. So I was quite surprised when when the track came out on Friday, yesterday, and the beat, when it came through, it was kind of an Arabic instrumental. I was like, oh, okay, this is a little bit different of a vibe that I was thinking they were going to bring us, but interesting. That's why I saw a few people saying, oh, I thought it was going to be some street shit, basically. That's how you know that people didn't even really study the artwork, because I don't know why. I would have understood why you thought that if they didn't release the artwork and just said we're dropping a single on Friday, because it's Miss Banks and Steph London and they're both quite raw. So I would have understood why people would assume that if they didn't see the artwork. But that's how you know niggas be sleeping on female rappers sometimes, because you lot just heard about it and was just like, oh yeah, it's probably going to be some street shit, and didn't, because it's kind of obvious from the artwork that it wouldn't have been that. But it's fine. Anyway, but at the same time, to be fair, like I said, it's not quite what you would assume it was either. So fair enough, whatever, either way. it's a little bit different of a vibe than I was expecting anyway. And it's basically, I'm not going to lie, because I'm going to speak to the audio first, because I listened to the track first. I didn't watch the video until I got home. So I was on my way to work. I'd overslept a little bit, so I was running late. It was a lot going on. So I don't think I was taking it in properly like that.
baddest feeling on my songs. Talking my shit, you know what I'm on. Big bangs with a big don. When I touch it, can't do nothing wrong. Name ring bells, no intercom. Body banging, busting out the phone. Giving sloppy toppy with my bowling on. Stick it on me, baby, nothing long. I never regular, I be running this shit like a senator. All these niggas be ringing my cellular. You a five, but you know I'm a ten and I step up them dead and all. Know you love it, sookie, sookie. Eat the pussy like a pussy. Know you feeling for the cookie. Need a pro, no rookie. Baby, dear. Hola, shake that shit. Baby, dip. Can you make it dip?
So yeah, when I first heard Miss Banks verse, I was quite biased. I think I was a bit biased because I love Miss Banks. Like, she's probably my female, she's my favorite, not even probably, she's my favorite female rapper from the UK. So I'm biased about Miss Banks. So I think when I heard her verse initially, I was a bit like, yeah, it's good. Like, you know, does she give me anything that I haven't seen from Miss Banks already or blow my mind? Not particularly, but yeah, it was good. I liked it. I just think it's funny because I know that Banksy likes Nigerian men. She has to, because every so often she'll give us a bar with a bit of Yoruba in it or just a random Yoruba dish. And she's got a bar about how it eats the pussy like a goosey in this song. I'm like, you love Niger man. I know it. And I love it. But yeah, so I thought she did a good job. I don't think she was trying to prove anything, put it that way, with her verse. I think she was just being Banksy and having fun. But I was very much here for it. I enjoyed it. And the hook, so Steph does the hook. So this is kind of what gives you the impression that Steph is in charge of this track and the arrangement. And this is why I mentioned the fact that it appears that it's a joint venture, Steph London and Miss Banks. But when you look at the video, when you watch, if you were like me and watched their live last night, even if you listen to the song a few times, you can hear that this is Steph's track. And she's just, you know, come to Miss Banks and asked her to be on it. It's obvious because, like I said, Miss Banks probably had that verse in the tuck, if I'm honest. Like, I don't think she wrote it specifically for this song. She might have just had it. And she was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And that's why everything was so last minute. We'll go on to that. But everything seemed like this was done quite quickly to me. But as much as I loved and appreciate the video, but we'll get onto that. So yes, so I liked the hook. It was cute, but the baby that Steph London does, it was just giving me Pop Smoke. And I don't know if I liked or didn't like it, to be honest with you. I don't know, because it was just so obviously Pop Smoke. Maybe not. Maybe that's just me. But I don't know. I didn't know what I thought about that, but I liked the hook. It was cute, but I was just a bit like, you know, and I don't think I mentioned in the beginning, but Steph London actually said that the song is inspired by Brazil. So it's Brazilian, which I'm not going to lie, I'm slightly confused about. I don't know if it's just me being an uncultured swine, but there wasn't really anything. I don't know. I couldn't see the Brazilian inspiration. I'm not going to lie. Like, the beat and the instrumental were Arabic. Her verse was, you know, patois mixed with English as usual. The dance was, I don't know. I just didn't see the Brazilian in it. So I'm just a bit confused. Maybe I'm literally just being blind to it. But if someone could point out to me where the Brazilian inspiration is, I'd love to see it. Because I heard Miss Banks say that too. So I'm just like, I don't know if I'm just not seeing it or if there's one part I missed, but whatever. But yeah, so I like the hook, but it was giving me Pop Smoke. And her verse.
Landada, big guala, big back, big stack, big mama. Ready with the semi, looking like a top shatter. Holy gun man, go make me swallow. Dung in my belly, dung in your throat, bitch. Fuck up in a jelly, give me my toe twitch. Beat it like a semi, ready for the dealings. Them type of fuck, me catch feelings. Them type of fuck, me get hooked. Dish out the thing like a name cook. Real bad girl, no for take hood. What you mean? Girl, you for set good.
So, this is the thing. So I think I mentioned before, maybe not, but I think I said a little something before about how when I first heard the song, initially I was like not really taking it in. And when I heard Steph's verse, I was like, I honestly don't think I took it in properly. I was late for work. So I think I was just, because I was listening to it on the way to work, so I was late. And I think I was probably just preoccupied and not even really taking it in, if I'm honest. But then when I got back home and I watched the video, Steph, you've been working, I see. I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad. You have been working. Not even so much with the verse. Because the verse was good. The verse is fire. But it's, you know, nothing that we wouldn't expect from Steph. It was good. But I think for me, where she really impressed me was with the video. because we're not really used to seeing Steph move that much. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that they came up with the most amazing jaw-dropping choreography, like reminiscent of Beyonce and CeCe. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't that type of choreography, but it was good. Do you know what I mean? And we'll get on to the dancers in a bit because I don't know what happened to them. But Steph in particular, I've never seen her move that much in a music video. And I thought it was very interesting because her last music video, Can't Let You Go, she did small movement there as well. This was a lot more though. This was a lot more energy and this was a lot more intentional. This was really to catch our attention because every single time, I promise you, you guys go to the video, every single time you go to Steph's part, she's just commanding the attention. And it's not a very complicated sequence. So it's not like she was doing the most with the dance moves per se. I think it's just your initial shock at like, wow, Steph is moving like this and she looks good and she looks like she's having fun. It looks great. Like, do you know what I mean? I think it's that. But it's also the fact that I think that she's genuinely trying and she was, you know, shouting out the choreographer as well on Instagram Live and in her Instagram. So I think that she... And she mentioned something when she dropped the track. She mentioned that she hasn't dropped in 8 months, but she promises she's going to be consistent from here on out. So there's something that tells me that she has been practicing her choreography, working on her dance moves, and that she plans on bringing something to the table in terms of energy, just a little bit more than just Steph. Because I'm not going to lie, I'm used to Steph standing there and rapping. Yes, she's done a small sway and a whine and a twerk, you know? But she don't dance. So, and like I said, small sequence, but she did a great job. She really, really commanded the attention and she understood the assignment. I really, really liked the parts of her and Miss Banks when they did that little dance off, because they mentioned that in the Instagram Live that they were doing dance offs for fun. So I'm glad that that was implemented in the actual music video and that, yeah, it just looked fun. So I don't know if this is a genuine relationship between the two, because that's kind of where I am at. It's a question mark, because to me, that they did seem pretty detached from each other in the live. It gave me the impression that they hadn't even had that many conversations between the two of them. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know. They didn't seem comfortable enough for me to say, yeah, they're girls. Do you know what I mean? But who knows? Like they clearly understand how to, you know, give off that energy when they're doing their song, when they're doing their job, essentially. And I respect that, because why not, you know? But yeah, ultimately, the performance was good. And I think I want to shout out Cash Powell, who choreographed the video, because I really, really enjoyed it. But what I will say is, Wagwan for the dancers. And I'm not even trying to be rude, but I just didn't get it. And honestly, the reason why they got away with being bad dancers, essentially, like, just not good at all. I'm sorry, like, I'm trying to be nice, but no, it just wasn't give. Like, if it actually kind of annoys you a little bit to intentionally take your attention off of Miss Banks during her part, off of Steph London during her part, which is really hard to do because Steph London, like I said, really was doing it. So when you force yourself to kind of look at the dancers in the background and see the distinction, it's like, what? You guys kind of worked a little bit harder to make it really pop just a little bit more and just give, you know, because it's not the most complicated routine and it's given me, they didn't have that much time to work on it. This is why I'm saying a lot of this seems rushed, because even Miss Banks said in the live that they mentioned something about how they're not going to do a TikTok challenge, by the way. So that's interesting. So like, yeah, we're done with the dancing for now. Yeah, you guys want to do it? It's cool, but we ain't about to do all of that. But Miss Banks said, like, but you know, it's so easy. Like, we can literally just show you. Like, it's not hard at all, because you could tell, like, it's a pretty simple sequence that after some, you know, time, you could pick up on it. So I'm not really understanding why, like, they don't look like they are terrible dancers. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't look like they can't dance at all. It just looks like they weren't really given the effort, or there just wasn't enough oomph, or just, it was just messy. I don't know. Like, it didn't have any precision. It was very strange in comparison to, and like I said, the only reason they got away with it is because Miss Banks and Steph London were bringing it. And even though Miss Banks' part was a little bit more simplified than Steph's, she was bringing it. Like, she was giving all the energy she needed to the point where you don't notice the dancers until it's going, because I watched the video a few times, because obviously I'm doing this. So I was like, Wow. Why? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, just give it a little bit more oomph. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, but either way, Cash Power did a really great job with the choreography, because at the end of the day, Steph and Miss Banks did their job. Do you know what I mean? They made a good video. They commanded the attention to the point where you don't even notice all of that. I think the only part where the dancers brought it was the only part that Miss Banks and Steph went in it. Right at the end, where you see the little explosion. That part is all right. And it's like, that's kind of why it irritated me, because it's like, are you only, you're kind of coasting, essentially. You're not really trying to make it look as good as they are, but it is what it is. Like, I genuinely think it was a rush thing, and they probably got that dancers on the day, because Steph said that she got her outfit on the day. Oh, no, that Miss Banks got her outfit on the day. So a lot of these details are telling me that this was a rush thing. So to be honest, considering if it is rushed, they did a great job, you know? So it is what it is. I would like to see more dancing from Steph. I hope that she continues to do so, because with her songs, it would be fun. Do you know what I mean? She does them good time summer songs, and that's why I think this would have been a good time to drop this song. You know, we're outside now. It's August, summertime. It's not the best summertime, but it's summer. Do you know what I mean? Like, but because ultimately the weather's not great, people are broke because people got excited at the beginning of the month, or not even the beginning of the month, in July when outside was open. And everyone's broke and it's rainy. So it's not the best vibe right now. But I think if it was and we were actually out, not necessarily clubs, but like maybe day parties, festivals, that kind of thing. If those things were, you know, high in attendance and, you know, going off, oh, I'm sure people would be, especially to Steph's verse. As soon as she comes through, all the girls start twerking. Trust me, it's that kind of vibe. But yeah, genuinely really, really good song. It's really grown on me. And ZZ actually tweeted something that I completely agree with earlier, that she really likes the song and the video, that it's kind of reminiscent of that time where you would actually like do the routine, like you'd watch the music video and do the routine with your friend at home when we were kids. And it would be hard to do because it was actually like an easy sequence to pick up. It literally, so I think that the way ZZ described it was perfect. That's exactly how I look at it. So yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. And Steph also said that they're going to have a live Vivo performance coming soon. So if either of you are fans of the two of them, then you can expect that shortly. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. So just before I go on to the next song, because we do have other music to discuss, I do want to touch on a couple things that Steph said that I just found really interesting.
I got hot sauce in my bag, swag.
Before I do go into the things that Steph said, I do just want to include, because I asked a question of my own in the live that I was delighted that Miss Banks answered. Thank you, Banksy.
I was looking at some next thing. Right. I was looking at some next thing, yeah. Someone said, what do we think of people calling it the UK WAP? I saw that, but I do think it's a sexual WAP.
No, it doesn't give that vibe. This is the thing. Because they're so used to seeing something in a certain way, it's like they just compare it to what's the closest thing.
Yeah, different about dancing.
I don't think even it's nothing like sexy, what, but not... I get why they would say that, because, again, that's the closest thing. That's the most recent thing we've seen, you know, Cardi and Megan shutting it down, of course. But, yeah.
I get it. But it's definitely
if you watch the video, it's not really... Yeah, rap is... different. I think this is the only thing the same is kind of choreo to female rappers, but I loved WAP anyway. I think it was proper sick.
I think it's just, yeah, the cover of two female rappers.
So yeah, I thought that was interesting, and note that I hadn't seen the video until after the live, which probably wasn't the smartest thing, but I had just got home and I was literally taking off my clothes and I saw that they were going on live and I was like, oh, let me hop on. So I didn't mean to see the video before, but, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, so I didn't see it before I asked that question. But if I had seen it, I'd have been like, oh, that's a stupid comparison. Because it's nothing like WAP. I don't know why people are saying that. Like Banksy said, it's basically that there's two female rappers in there. And they're, you know, it's not really a sexy video. Like she said, like, obviously... I think Steph said this, sorry, actually. But yeah, obviously the verse is sexual stuff, but it's not, the video itself is not WAP vibes. So yeah, that comparison is not accurate, and it's clearly just people seeing. I'm just tired of the people that are clearly not consuming the music being the ones to comment the most. It's really irritating because it just shows a fake culture and fake appreciation for really good artists. Like, I just don't like it. But I'm aware as well that I have been complaining about it internally, and I haven't really been commenting until recently because I'm trying to promote my shit. But I'm like, I guess because I had my own things, I was like, oh, like, I didn't like the idea of, like, if I said something, people coming for me, that kind of thing, da da da. Now I don't really care so much. But yeah, like, it's just annoying to see that. But like, in the YouTube comments, I see that people are being a little bit more specific in terms of what they're saying. And so it just goes to show, if you go to the right place, you can see the right people and what they think about the project. But yeah, I'm really fucking with it anyway, as I said before. But I thought it was interesting because obviously people can ask questions on Instagram Live. So I thought it was really interesting when a couple questions came up and Steph expressed a few things. So she kind of subtly spoke on not really getting support from the UK, very subtly. She didn't really blatantly say, you know, everyone here ignores me. I don't think she would have said it like that anyway, but, you know, like, she didn't say it like that. But she definitely spoke to, she insinuated that she's getting a lot of support internationally rather than in the UK. And she said it would be nice to be able to get some support where you live, because obviously this is where you're from, do you know what I mean? It would be nice to get some support from here too. And I was like, oh, wow, like, that's interesting. And then because I'm compassionate by nature, I automatically am like, oh, that's sad that she feels that way, because she is so big. So to feel like she's not even getting support in her own, you know, where she grew up, well, half grew up, because obviously she grew up in Amsterdam as well. But, you know, it's rough, or it can feel a bit, you know. But then you remember that Steph London don't really help herself. So I was actually doing my own research, and I found an article that was written last year in December 2020 by Yomi Adegoke. So I read the article, really well written, by the way, Yomi. Well done to you. You know, we're the underrated podcast. We shout out Black women here and women in general, but mainly Black women. So yes, Yomi, well done. Great, great article. I loved it. But yeah, so when asked about other female artists in the article or during the interview, because it was done via Zoom, obviously, being during the pandemic, Steph said, in the UK, a lot of people are very much on the same level. There's not many people who are so far to reach. I'm one of the only female rappers that is like that. So you won't really see a lot of female rappers fucking with me because they feel like I'm so far gone. That's fair enough. And I thought that was quite a diplomatic way of saying it. Like, it didn't make it sound like she was saying, oh yeah, I'm hot shit. Nobody can come near me. You know what I mean? Like, I think she was just being a little bit more... She was just being clear about how other female rappers in the UK here that are grinding might see her. And I wouldn't be surprised if they did see it that way, because obviously Steph is, you know, she got her international success a while ago. So in a lot of female rappers' heads here who are still working their way up, it would look like she is so far gone, kind of thing. But it's interesting that she kind of stated it, because it kind of spoke to a bit of, like, loneliness. Not loneliness. It's a bit weird, because Steph London as a person appears to me as someone that don't really care. Do you know what I mean? She kind of does her thing. But I do think that it is only going to be so much time before you see other female artists doing their thing who are maybe not as big as you, but they're getting so much love. Like, everyone loves Miss Banks. I don't even want to do that comparison thing, but just to draw as a small example, everyone loves Banksy. Do you know what I mean? So I think it can only be natural for you to maybe see what other female rappers are getting and be like, oh yeah, I don't really get that so much. Maybe it is because of my position. But also, Steph, and this is what I was saying, in that you don't help yourself, because at the end of the day, I would get myself all ready to be like, yeah, like, I'm, because Steph makes good music. She does. Like, she's a good artist and she knows what she's doing. She's confident. And even in the IG Live, the way she was talking about, you know, trying to get the costumes inspired from Doja, and like, because she's a really big Doja Cat fan, but then when they got the costumes, they looked too much like Doja, and she was really, like, really trying to be mindful of, like, you know, it's great to be inspired by artists, but don't copy exactly everything they're doing. So that's kind of why it ended up changing a little bit, and it wasn't quite an extraterrestrial vibe. So perhaps that's why it felt a little bit rushed towards the end, because they changed the concept. But Yeah, she says a lot more as well, but she says a lot in the live to make you feel like, oh, you're very confident in what you're doing, not just as an artist, but just as a creative in general. Like, you're very confident in your lane. But this is the thing that I thought was interesting, because while I understand Steph, I understand it being annoying not getting as much support here in the UK, in your own hometown. And especially being, you know, the girlfriend of Burna Boy and seeing the support he gets over there in Nigeria. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to really see it from her point of view. I can definitely understand how that can be frustrating. But, babe, you don't help yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's hard for me to be as compassionate as I want to be in this situation with her, because she doesn't help herself. At the end of the day, she has done things that are valid reasons for why people don't want to fuck with her. And it's really hard to, like, because I'm really trying to, I've basically done this assessment where I've realized that a lot of people are like, cancel this person, cancel this person, cancel this person, cancel. And it's like, we can't all keep the same energy for everyone who genuinely deserves it. Unfortunately, there's just not enough, we don't have enough energy. We just don't. Do you know what I mean? Like, we just don't. So I think it's very important for everyone to have their own moral compass. My personal moral compass is, any abusers, any paedophiles, R. Kelly, I'm looking at you. You know, like, any, even colorists, for me, homophobia, like, those are the red flags for me. Those are where, like, I fuck DaBaby. Do you know what I mean? For me, fuck T.I., fuck Tory Lanez, you know? It's important to have a certain moral, fuck R. Kelly, of course, goes without saying. I already said that before, but you know. But it's really hard to not feel like a hypocrite when you're trying to do the right thing, where it comes to consuming your favourite artists, or just any, if you're someone who loves music in general, and a lot of different kind of artists, it's difficult, you know? It's very, very hard to be like, keep the same energy for everyone who deserves it. So me personally, while I totally understand why somebody would never want to fuck with Steph London based on what she's done, I guess I have a bit of an easier job, considering I wasn't actually there to feel what happened when it actually happened. I didn't find out about her colorist tweets until after it happened, maybe 1 or 2 years on, because I wasn't, you know, really on social media and the blogs like that at the time. So I didn't know about it. So maybe that's why I find it a bit easier to be kind of like, you know, as much as I don't like it, and as much as I believe that she probably does, like, I won't say she's a colorist, but the funny thing is, okay, let me just touch on that incident for a second. So there was a little situation with Steph a few years ago. When was it? 2013, I think it was. Yeah, 2013. Where she was in a club. This is her explanation when she won a BBC One Extra, I believe. She said that there was some dark-skinned girl that was there and she was rude to her, and that's why she wrote the tweet that she wrote, because some dark-skinned girl was rude to her in the club. Seems a bit of a pathetic excuse to me. It doesn't really matter, honestly, if that one dark-skinned girl happened to be rude to you. Your tweet was very much fueled in all dark-skinned women. So honestly, it's a bit irrelevant what happened beforehand, but you know, that I just want to include that was her story. And yeah, so basically this was the tweet. All you dark-skinned women hating on light-skinned bitches, don't act like if God gave you a choice, you wouldn't change your colour, lol. Lol with two O's. I don't know why that was necessary to add, but for some reason, I feel like when it's more than one O, it's like, and it's like a rude thing to laugh at, it's like almost more hurtful. I don't know why. But yeah, and it's like, I don't like her reaction to the backlash. To me, it's giving, how dare you see me for a colorist behavior, you know, like, it's given that, and I don't want to call her that, but I just don't quite understand, like, this is her follow-up from the backlash, or her follow-up tweet. Without black women, there would be no me, so sorry if anyone took offense to what was said. No one is nothing. No one is on nothing. I honestly want my girls to know. I don't mind people not liking me, but for something like this, and for something I'm not, I do mind. I would like my women and young girls to know I would never disrespect anyone based on colour. I'm not better than anyone. I love my heritage and stand for people of colour. I don't want dark-skinned girls to ever feel like I'm one of those people. That is not me. I know where I came from. I'm sorry, Steph, but firstly, you haven't even acknowledged what you actually done, really and truly. You haven't. Really, honestly, if I'm going to be completely 100% honest and just be me for a second, I personally don't even blame the light-skinned girls that have this mentality and say these things. If I'm honest, I blame them, of course, slightly, because they're the ones saying these words and causing this damage to whoever they're saying it to. But where it comes to colorism that is, you know, distributed like this, she feels confident to do that because of men who have given her the right to act like that. Not right, because no one can ever give her the right to act like that. But they've made her think that, yeah, this is, yeah, sure, it's okay. Yeah, like, because the times that we grew up in, and I know everyone loves to act like they've forgotten, but the times that we grew up in, 100% colorism was rampant. 100%. If you weren't light skinned, you felt that you were the less attractive comparison. Yes, absolutely. And a lot of girls, including me, even though I'm not even dark skinned, but we all were the subjects of that. But can you imagine? Obviously, I'm going to focus on Steph Sweet in particular. That was specifically to dark skinned women. So could you imagine being a dark skinned woman and reading that? I'm sorry, fuck off about, oh, I love everybody of the same hue and complexion. Fuck off. Like, what do you mean? You're not even addressing colorism. You're acting, you're going back and forth between addressing colorism and racism. Like, what is this? Like, it's not about skin color because we're all black. It's about complexion. It's about you pitting yourself against me in our community, within our community, outside of other skin colors, because you feel like even with racism and all these other things that we all experience as a unit, you are positioning yourself as someone above me because of your complexion. Not skin color, complexion. There is a distinction between colorism and racism. That's number one. And number two, you saying that you would never disrespect anyone based on color, da da da, like, I don't want dark skin girls to feel like I'm one of those people. But your tweet sounded like you were one of those people, babe. So that's ultimately what I'm trying to say, is that I understand that people that don't want to fuck with her, because her apology was bullshit. It was trash. It was garbage. Like, it was terrible. It was definitely before she patterned herself in media training, because all of what I'm seeing in the Guardian article, she definitely was media trained by this point. So it clearly speaks to us. Or maybe she was media trained and unfortunately they didn't feel like us as that important. And our little feelings, even our people. Do you know what I mean? Because, yeah, like, I don't like... It's actually not hard to acknowledge where you've gone wrong. And I don't understand why people think it is. It can be sometimes where it's things that you genuinely don't feel like... If you in your head feel like you're not a colorist and you are not ever somebody who would pit somebody above, sure, I can understand it being a bit difficult to be like, how dare you call me that? But babe, you said if you bitches could change to our skin color, you would. I'm sorry, I don't understand how you are somewhat of a person with sense and you don't understand how that can come across to dark-skinned women. I just don't get it. Even if you really didn't mean it the way it sounded, because I don't understand, like, it was so blatant that you meant if you could be us, you would. You know you would. You know you would, fucking dark-skinned bitch. That's what you meant. I heard it. So, yeah, Steph don't help herself. She really don't. And obviously there was that incident with her saying, oh, that I think it was a cleaner in Starbucks or somewhere like that. And she said, oh, I could never do that. How could you do that? Da, da, da. She had an incident with last year where she pretended, she'd done a whole hoax to pretend that she'd been arrested and said Black Lives Matter with a laughing emoji. There's a lot of things within our culture as well as outside of it that you've done that people wouldn't fuck with, you know? So it's almost like while I want to support her-ish, no, support her. And I'll go on to why in a minute. But as much as I want to support her, I can't say why, guys. Come on, let's stand, Steph. I can't do all of that because people have very valid fucking reasons as to why they wouldn't want to fuck with her. But then I also sometimes think, why are we so much harder on the women? Because there are so many colorist, ignorant random that still spout the same toxic bullshit that they were in 1990-something. And we just give them a pass. We might pipe up about it for 5 minutes, but it's essentially trending for 24 hours, if that. And then people forget about it. So I'm just not understanding why. I remember people going in about Nas being a colorist not long ago. All of that's forgotten. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just... While I'm really trying to champion women and just celebrate us, I don't feel comfortable dragging Steph for the colorism thing. While I don't want to say it's deserved, but it's understandable in some people's point of view. But I don't feel comfortable doing that myself, because I'm not going to lie here and sit here and say I show the same energy for every single person, and I don't. So why am I just dragging Steph kind of thing? That's how I feel. With the Dutchavelli things now, I'm not even laughing at that, because for me, that's actually a triggering. Any child molestation, paedophilia situation is a bit triggering for me for reasons I won't go into. So it's not even funny to me, that one. But I was also having a long think about it today. And honestly, maybe it's just the fact that I just want to celebrate women. And I'm being, again, a bit biased. But I was really sitting here thinking, okay, say... like I believe in my gut all this Dutch stuff is true. Sorry. Like, I'm not an idiot. So you can say all of that. Oh, like, allegedly hacking, da-da-da-da. There's so many things surrounding the cousin of the girl piping up and saying the mum is a clout chaser and she's getting paid off of Dutch. Don't fucking believe her. So many things that have come out since then that have said to me how obvious that it is that Dutch is a dirty bungle. And I'm not even going to talk about him because I can't be bothered. But where it comes to Steph now, do I kind of hate people that protect paedophiles and child molesters? Yeah, sure, I do. Because you are the people that are essentially letting them get away with it. But at the same time, being Steph, really think about it from her point of view. If she is not the paedophile or the child molester, should I really be dragging her? Like, because honestly, we're dragging her instead of Dutch at this point, because Dutch is not about until he decides to come forward every 4 or 5 months, or not 4 or 5 months, I'm such an exaggerator, sorry, every couple months to say I'm innocent, and then no one believes him again, and then he goes back into the shadows, you know? That's essentially what he does. So he doesn't really get the dragon because he's not about to receive it. So that's where I don't really, because I'm not trying to give her paedophile energy. I'm just not, because while I want her to bury him, it's realistically, I'm speaking from my own emotion and my own situations that make me feel like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not really like something I can expect his sister to be happy doing, you know? So, it's a hard one. It's a really hard one, because honestly, I personally wouldn't fuck with my brother. I wouldn't protect him in the public. So it's, again, this is where it becomes difficult for me to defend that, because I wouldn't handle it exactly the way Steph has, but I also don't want to persecute her, nail her to a cross for it, you know? So that's where I get a bit, ugh, you know? But anyway, I've gone on to Steph enough, and I don't want it to look like I'm dragging her. Because I think I've said enough. But yeah, I can understand why people don't feel so happy fucking with her. But I honestly do feel like that will change soon, because I feel like she's talented, she's been working hard. And if she really is working consistently like she says she is, we're about to see some shit. And come next year, people will conveniently forget. It's easy to fucking hate Steph when she's only putting out a single every 6-8 months, you know? It's easy to hate her then. But if she puts out a fire album, well, it's got us twerking and enjoying ourselves, let's see what the energy's saying then. That's all I'll say. But yeah, and just going back to, briefly before we go on to Lizzo. Love Lizzo, but hated her new song. But we'll go on to that. But yeah. Banks also spoke on wanting to collaborate with other female artists as well, but only female artists that they fuck with, because they want that organic energy, which is fair enough. Like, you don't want to do the whole fake, yes, sis, because you can so tell that from the off. And honestly, it's not needed, not even in a rude way, but I'm sure there's plenty of other women that genuinely fuck with you, that will support you. I don't need to come in your space and patronize you. Do you know what I mean? So I understand what she was saying. And yeah, 100%. I think they mentioned Nole. They mentioned Alakai as well. They mentioned, who else did they mention? Alakai Harley, sorry, if you guys know. Who else did they mention for collaborations? Not Doja, but I'm sure Steph has that at the back of her mind because she said she's a big Doja fan. I know they mentioned someone else that I'm forgetting, but it's really annoying me. Sorry about that person. But yeah, I'm so here for Nole. Love Nole, so I'm so here for that. And Banksy said, Meg the Stallion, which I wasn't even really surprised about. Because she had some kind of butt, like, you know, I because I like Banksy and I know her. She fucks with, like, the City Girls, like, Megan Thee Stallion, like, yeah, sexy and proud energy, you know? So I'm not surprised that she fucks with Megan highly. And also she had a bar in the song about, like, come fuck with the Stallion, because she is kind of tall. Not as tall as Megan, but she's kind of tall, so I understand why she said that. And I was like, okay, but I just thought it was interesting because no one really says Stallion unless they're referring to Megan. So I feel like maybe Ms. Banks will make it a little thing where it's like an actual official term for calling it a tall woman. I guess Meg technically would have started it, but you know, she only called herself that. You never know. Maybe it will become a thing. But yeah, so I could tell from the bar and, you know, who Ms. Banks is in general, she fucks with Megan. And I'm so here for that collaboration if it ever happens in the future. I really hope soon. And she even mentioned that Megan shouted them out, which I did see as well. She added them and she said, oh my God, with love struck faces under Steph's post. So I love all of that female unity. I love it. And I'm here to see cross collaborations with the female rappers in the US and the UK. Shabo and Dreamdale had a collaboration not too long ago. So I'm really hoping that Megan could come true soon. I'd be so here for it. I can't, you guys know you'll see me twerking anyway. Yeah, so just to mention very quickly, Ms. Banks also said that she loved to see Steph, Lon, Don and Bernard Boy on a track together. Obviously, people have been saying that for a while. But it was interesting to see that when she asked the question, Steph just looked so indifferent and unenthusiastic. Like, she was just like, yeah, you know. Like, she didn't say anything, really. She was just like, yeah, well, you know. She didn't really answer it. And then Ms. Banks was like, oh, okay, it sounds like you already got it in the title. Like, it's like, okay, we got that shit already. And I think Banksy was trying to save her because she kind of spoke to a point that she weren't happy discussing, essentially. And again, that made me think maybe you guys aren't that close, because if she's not fucking with Bernard right now for whatever reason, I think I can guess, but if she's not, you know, if they're not together or they're not on the best of terms for whatever reason, I would think you know that if you're cool, you know? So, but then who's to say, even if they're cool, even if we have a good working relationship and we're actually friendly with each other, doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to chat to you about my man. So who's to say? Who's honestly to say? But yeah, I do think it would be nice to see them on a track together, but I'm not too, honestly, I'm not that bothered. Like, I'm not going to beg them for it. It is what it is, but it would be nice to see. It would be cool. But yeah, I hope, who knows? I honestly don't know because I try and say I hope they're okay and things like that. But honestly, there's some part of me that thinks that they're not even a real relationship. I can't lie. So there's some part of me that thinks maybe they're not even really together. So who even knows? But yeah, it would be nice to see because they're both good artists. So it would be nice to see them come together 100%. But Banksy, I'd love to see a project. Love to see a project. I'm just saying. You know, The Coldest Winter Part 2 came out in 2019, 2 years ago, sis. So it would be nice to see a long project for your fans that really fuck with you. Because I'll be here for it. But I'm sure she's, you know, working on that anyway. But yeah, Dip. Stream that shit, guys. Look up the video on YouTube. Choreographed by Cash Powell. Beat is by Rhymes. Brilliant work. Steph London, Ms. Banks, fucked it up. Great. Loved it. Ladies, you went in. Love it.
I got hot sauce in my bag. Swag.
Okay, guys. So on to Rumours by Lizzo featuring Cardi B. Okay, so as you can probably tell from my lack of enthusiasm, I wasn't fucking with the song. I just wasn't. I listened to it on the way to work as well, same as Dip. And I, at first I was like, I think I kind of got like a warm welcome essentially from Lizzo, because, you know, it's been a couple of years since she's put out a project. Not really much. Has she put out a single in that time? I don't think so. Since Because I Love You. I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong. I feel like she's put out at least one or two, but I just don't remember them. So I'm pretty sure this is her first single in a couple of years anyway. So it just like, I think it just hit me like, oh my God, like a new Lizzo kind of thing. So I think initially I felt like, you know, like joy when I heard her voice. And her verse is funny. That's the first verse, should I say. That is the only positive thing I can honestly say about the song. Everything else just confused me. Cardi being on it didn't confuse me. It frustrated me because I'm just not feeling Cardi recently since she ruined Wild One. I'm just not really feeling her. I feel like she's just too complacent and happy to stay in the lane of just not bothering and mediocrity, and I'm not really here for it because she's not a terrible rapper like people say she is. She knows how to rap. So it's like annoying. Fair enough, you want to make your money. You're not really bothered about, you know, who's the best rapper, all of that shit. Fair enough. You know, everyone's different. But come on, man, you know, you're on top at the moment. Try and be just a little bit creative, just small, just a tiny bit. Do you know what I mean? Like, have a little bit of pride in whatever your job is. I'm just saying. So it's really annoying that every verse you hear her on is just getting worse, but it is what it is. I wouldn't mind it so much if she wasn't ruining some of my favorites actual songs. Do you know what I mean? Because now, first Normani, now Lizzo, I'm just not happy. I'm not. But to be fair, that's not all Cardi's fault. But you know, I mean, it is. It's her verse. But do you know what I mean? Like, at the same time, these artists don't have to have their own song. But I get it. Cardi's big right now. They want the song to pop. But this is where I'm confused with Lizzo. What was this song supposed to be for? Like, I get that the concept is addressing her haters. I that's what I gather anyway. Because the verse is funny. The first verse is just classic Lizzo. Anyway, I'll play a little snippet for you guys just in case you haven't heard it.
They don't know I do it for the culture, goddamn. They say I should watch the shit I post, oh goddamn. Say I'm turning big girls into hoes, oh goddamn. They say I get groupies at my shows, oh goddamn. All the rumors are true, yeah. What you heard, that's true, yeah. I fuck him and you, yeah. If you believe I do that, had to cut some hoes loose, yeah. Indie ain't no loose lips. Now them hoes tryna sue me. Bitch, I don't give two shits. All the rumors are true, yeah. I've been in the bamboo, yeah. Focused on this music. My ex nigga, he blew it. Last year I thought I would lose it. Reading shit on the internet. My smoothie cleansing my diet. No, I ain't fucked Drake yet. Spending all your time trying to break a woman down. Real shit is going on, baby. Take a look around. If you thought that I was ratchet with my ass hanging out, just wait until the summer when they let me out the house, bitch.
Yeah, so you know. I don't know, guys. I just don't know. And I'm just very surprised because Lizzo is talented and she knows how to make good music. She's very creative. So I'm not really understanding what this was supposed to be. And I'm really glad that I watched the Apple interview that they had on Apple Music, if you guys are subscribed. They do interviews every so often with artists that have just put out projects, so or songs. So Lizzo has one with Zayn Lowe, who I've actually never seen one of his interviews before. Not that I remember. I don't remember seeing him before anyway. But it was a really, really good interview. I like interviews that are serious and get into the nitty-gritty of, like, ask the serious questions that we want to know the answer to. But they have a very casual, informal approach. You know, they look very, you feel comfortable instantly when you're looking at the setting. And you could tell that him and Lizzo kind of had already a previous rapport. So it built a nice conversation. So it was actually a very good interview. I really liked it. But yeah, so that gave a little bit more context into what she was intending with the project. To be honest, I genuinely think it just was a link up with Cardi, because she said that as soon as she signed to Atlantic Records, because they're both signed to the same label. So as soon as Cardi signed to Atlantic, she was like, you need to put me on a song with Cardi kind of thing. So I genuinely think that she'd asked for that as soon as she was signed, and they only just got around to it now. This is what I think, because this is not reflective of what Lizzo's art really is. Like, I'm sorry, like, I know that Lizzo is one of those artists that not everybody like loves her. Like, I like Lizzo a lot, but I get not everyone gets her music like that. I don't know why, because it's pretty obvious. Like, I don't think it's particularly abstract or do you know what I mean? Like, she's a rapper slash singer. She sometimes sings, she sometimes raps. She puts a hell of a lot of emotion and creativity and humor into her lyrics. You know, I don't think it's hard to get, but you know, I get some people just don't really know where to place her in terms of like, are you rapping? Are you singing or whatever? But again, partly why I have this podcast, to bring more into the forefront. It's just, it's really funny the excuses that people make not to gravitate towards music just because it's, because there's so many Lils and Youngs and, do you know what I mean, male rappers that all sound the same, don't really get where they're coming from when they spit. Like, do you know what I mean? There's a big question mark around all of their whole discography, but people still stand them. So it's a bit funny to me, but hey, I'm trying to be more positive and just enlighten and celebrate women and not just focus on who's sleeping on us, because we'll be here all day if we did that. But yeah, so I really, really like Lizzo as an artist. Wasn't fucking with rumors at or wasn't here for it. Sorry. I spoke to my friend because it was the same as Dip, like I said earlier. I didn't watch the video until I got home. So I called my friend during my lunch break at work, and she was telling me that she saw on Twitter, I think it was a tweet or a comment, maybe on Instagram, one of the two, that somebody had said, so this is her Hercules audition. And I didn't get the joke until I came back home and I saw the video, and I was like, oh, yep, Hercules audition. Yep, that's pretty accurate. I mean, clearly that's what she was going for. It was very intentional, because I think one of the images is literally the you know, the women dancing from Hercules, the one, you know, that clip we see all the time. So that was clearly intentional, but I just didn't really understand. And I think it was to, like I said, it was to address her haters, but I just think addressing your haters could have been done in a much better way. You know, like, the best part about it is that it was funny. And that Lizzo, I love to see her confident in herself and comfortable and just bringing energy at all times. As always, you look beautiful, you know, those are all positives. But I genuinely feel like this was just an opportunity to collab with Cardi. But her interview with Zane Lowe on Apple Music was honestly much more fascinating to me. Because, and oh, another reason what I will say just before I get into the interview is that her line, Black People Made Rock and Roll, I think was also a big part of this. I mean, again, she could have made a better song to outline that, but I think that that is a big part. I don't think she's even bothered about the message of addressing the haters. I think she wants people to really think about that line and really be singing that line. Because obviously, I think, like, you can tell from the interview, she's very aware of the effect that lighter songs, you know, that happy-go-lucky songs that you don't really analyze too much when you hear them. She's very aware of the effect that they can have on society and the culture, because you go around, you sing the lyrics and you're not really thinking about it. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, Black people made rock and roll. So she mentioned that in the interview. So I think that part of the song is really important to her. But again, I would just, why would you then put that in a bad song if you want it to be? And I'm saying that because I don't believe that Lizzo is as creative and talented as she is, and heard that and thought, yeah, that's up there with one of my most fire songs. Like, I think she knows this song is anything. Do you know what I mean? It's just there. I think she just wanted to collab with Cardi, if I'm honest. But hey, either way, I'm happy for her. She's clearly, I'm trying so hard not to say I'm so, apologies guys, but she's clearly working on a project, because she also spoke about being in the studio with Mark Ronson in the interview. Quite in depth. So she clearly has got music coming. I sincerely hope that the project is much better than this song, because I just hated it. I hated everything about it. I hated the video. I hated Cardi's verse. I hated everything other than the fact that Lizzo made me laugh. That was the only saving grace. And I'm not going to stop there, because I don't want it to sound like I'm dragging her, because I do love Lizzo, but I just didn't understand what she was doing. I didn't get it at all. But one thing I will add as well from the interview is that she spoke a lot about, or not even a lot, she just kind of mentioned it once about having creative control and having confidence in her ability as an artist, which I thought was really interesting and great. It's so amazing to hear that, because that is key. And that is what's separating the genuinely great, amazing artists from the, you know, the run of the litter, essentially, for lack of a better term. So I 100%, I'm so happy to hear that from her. And it's clear, it comes out in her music, you know? However, and there's so much, honestly, that interview, I wish I'd actually chosen to do the interview more than the song, because there's so much I can unpack out of that interview. Lizzo says so much inspirational, motivational things about, you know, really growing to love yourself, which is the journey that I'm currently on. So any, you know, one that throws out those gems, I'm like, yeah, yeah, here, listen, you know? And obviously her being a bigger woman, she really had to combat a lot, and she really had to work hard to love herself. And she mentioned something about how, oh, like when people, you know, comment how great it is that she loves herself so much, like, how did you get to this place kind of thing? She was like, I had no choice. Nobody else loved me. And it just kind of makes you, while you're like, wow, what a word, but you're like, oh, like, and it just kind of, you could tell from the way she said it, that outlined how bigger women, especially bigger Black women, would be treated in society. Lizzo actually did outline that she didn't have the privilege of what some other introverts may have had in the fact that she was big, because you notice her. So I guess she didn't feel that, you know, inconspicuous, ignored feeling, but more the ridicule and the mockery, which is horrible. So that even makes me feel even worse for her, because, boy, at least if you're ignored, sometimes, because sometimes it's nice to be ignored, you know, when you're really not in the mood for people, it could be all right. But if you're just always, yeah, that's rough, man. So yeah, but it was a great interview. And I really like that she spoke about, you know, learning to love yourself and having confidence. And it's great to see that she has creative control. Sorry, that's what I was meant to focus on. The part where she said creative control. I thought it was really interesting that she said that, because I don't get that vibe of a lot of, not a lot, but some artists on Atlantic Records. So it just made me wonder if she had to fight for that, you know? But I'm glad, because it really comes out. And she even talked, I love how she spoke about her songs that weren't so mainstream as well. Obviously, people love Juice, people love Good As Hell, people love Soulmate, you know? But I love how she spoke about Cause I Love You. And what was the other one? I don't think she spoke about Jerome. That was the one I was thinking in my head. I hope she would mention it, but she didn't, because I love Jerome. What other song did she mention that wasn't so mainstream? Oh, I don't remember. And it was from Cause I Love You. I don't remember, guys. But I love how she went into that, and she spoke about how she can draw from emotion in songs, even when it's about something positive, but she's feeling like shit. Sometimes it kind of, when you listen to the lyrics, and that's when she brought up Cause I Love You, it sounds like it's supposed to be a happy song, but it's like, I'm crying because I love you, you know? So you can just draw from emotion in general. And that's the great thing about her songs and being able to perform them. It was great. It was a really great interview. And one thing I'll finish by saying is that Lizzo said that she's happy to see so many female rappers dominating. She said rappers specifically, which I thought was interesting. So that clearly, I feel like that maybe means that she clearly identifies more with her rapper side than her singing, even though she got lungs. So that's interesting. But yeah, so she said she's so happy to see so many female rappers dominating, and that she'd be here for an all-female festival just to celebrate how dope they are. And I would love it. Absolutely would be here for it. Spend all my coins on the ticket. So Lizzo and Zane Lowe kind of threw out that Lizzo Fest question mark. So Lizzo, I think that's a dope idea. And if you're listening to this, I don't know why you would be, but hey, you never know. If you are listening to this, please, please do it. Do it. I will fly over. I don't care where it is. Do it, please. I'd love that. I'd definitely be here for that, because I genuinely do think females are, I agree. I think female rappers and singers are dominating as well. So yeah, I'm here. I'm intrigued to see when the project comes out. I was hoping she dropped that in the interview, but I kind of was expecting her not to at the same time, because I know she's, you know, she wants to experience life and then write as she goes along, which is how it should be done, as opposed to just being like, yeah, I'm going to write it this year. As much as you need to plan it, you also need to live an experience so you can write on these new experiences. So I gather that that's why she hasn't actually set a date, but the fact that she's in the studio with Mark Ronson, like I said, I'm sure something's coming. So yeah, Lizzo, love you. Hated rumors. Cardi, you have displeased me. You have displeased me, but I'll put a pin in that displeasure
for now. I don't even know if displeasure's a word, but I'll put a pin in it for now until I hear your album and then we move, because I promise you, I liked Invasion of Privacy, but if you want people to actually value your lyrics and your the quality of your music, which I gather you do, because as much as you say you don't care, you just want to make money, the fact that you're piping up every 5 seconds when someone calls your verse shit tells me that you do care about people's critique of your music. So babe, get in the booth, pick up a pen and notepad, or you know, get Party to write a better verse. I don't even care, to be honest with you, because I'm not one of those people that is particularly cussing her for not writing her own lyrics. To be honest, I couldn't care less. Honestly, whether you write it or not, as long as it's fire, I just don't care. So either pick up a pen and paper or just get tell Party to stop being so besotted with Megan for 5 minutes and write a better verse. I mean, we couldn't blame you, Party, but you still got work to do, you know? So yeah, either way, loved Lizzo, and I just hope something better is coming from the actual project.
I got hot sauce in my bag, swag.
Okay, so our entertainment segment for today is just going to be a Love Island recap. It's going to be a quick one, you guys, not as much of a deep dive as I have been doing in the main episodes, mainly because there's literally just not much to discuss. Like, if you guys have been following along with the season, honestly, it got a little bit exciting for a minute and then it just went away again, essentially. So I'm not even going to bore myself or you guys by talking to... Well, to be fair, this is not a great intro. Sorry, it's not been that bad, but... Well, as in overall, it kind of has, but lately it hasn't been too bad. It's just literally not much has happened this week. And Kaz has had little to next to zero screen time. So, yeah. But anywho, let's just have a little, you know, look at what the ladies have been doing in that villa for the last week, as it is the underrated podcast, after all, bringing women into the forefront. So we're not going to concentrate on the men because, you know, half the islanders... half the boringness, you know, because as you guys know, when I had my minisode with Orla, we did speak about Tyler and Matt and, you know, a few other things. But yeah, so let's start with Priya, considering she's gracious enough to have left the villa now, so, or to have been dumped anyway, which is actually really weird, because when, for some reason, when I feel like, well, actually, today was an exception, because I was going to say, I feel like they haven't been that clear with announcing the rules of the challenges or the vote-ins or dumpings or recouplings, whatever, because that, was it last Sunday when Jake was in the bottom? That day, I could swear Laura Whitmore had said that two couples were going. And then when we get to the episode on Monday, only one couple was going. So I'm like, I swear to God, that time I was sure I got it right. I'm sure she said there was two couples. But anywho. But yeah, this time I misheard, and she said, who was it that read out? I don't remember who read it, but whoever read out, Priya and Brett, for some reason I heard the question as, this is the couple staying. So when they were looking all happy, I was confused. I was like, oh, so they're happy to be staying? So Liberty and Jake, and even Liberty and Jake, I think they confused me first. So I think even they thought they were going. I think they were a bit confused too. But anyway, so Priya's gone now. Annoying as fuck. I hated her. I mean, it's hard to say hate with Vim because obviously I don't know these people. But obviously, if you guys saw before going in the villa, you know, we kind of already could guess that we're not going to like this person. She's a Tory and she said she has a celebrity crush on her celebrity crush is Boris Johnson. So I'm not going to lie. Even the Tories, I think that someone is making them say that Boris Johnson is their celebrity crush. Because for some reason, I feel like I've heard that before. Maybe not on Love Island, but I feel like I've heard some other stupid girl say that. And I feel like, or like on a reality show, maybe a different one. And I feel like they are doing that on purpose. They're trying to get certain people to be like, hey, go on this show. It gets loads of exposure. And be like, hey, yeah, so I like this. Fuck off. It's not working. Go away. And I'm glad that the energy in that villa was very much a Labour Party. You can tell, because if you guys watched the Unseen bits on Saturday, she told them, this wasn't in the main episode, but Priya told them that she has a crush on Boris Johnson. It's so funny when people ask you questions about your crush, because you go into detail about what you like and it kind of lets them know what they're attracted to, at least in a celebrity crush. But Priya was, she couldn't even say, she said something about some bullshit about how he has nice hair, which is obvious, Cap, he's balding. So it was just like, yeah, babes, you don't like him. But he's like, yeah, we're going to say I like a blonde, you know, he's just so cute and cuddly and he's the prime minister, so he's got power. I was like, you're so full of shit. You're so full of it. I don't even care what party you support. I know for a fact, well, I don't know for a fact, but I could bet that you do not have a crush on Boris Johnson. Sorry. Either way, she was irritating as fuck. She had the audacity to the guy that she was coupled up with, Brett. She had the audacity to basically tell him, you're boring as fuck and you need to lighten up. I'm like, you're not exactly a festival of laughs yourself, babes. Like, I'm not really understanding why you think that you can speak to Brett like that. Not that Brett is my favourite islander. He's gone now too. But, you know, didn't get on my nerves. Do you know what I mean? He was just there. So I just felt like, and I didn't like how she treated him on the date. Like she'd said, because she kind of shot herself in the foot by telling the girls that she was bored on the date. And that was just before the dumping. So it was like, oops, see ya. To, I think Mary and somebody else. I don't remember which other person. But, oh yeah, sorry. I forgot. I was meant to elaborate on the initial pop before I get to the day of when she said to the girls that she looks like she likes Boris Johnson. The way they look so horrified, Kaz, Mary and Faye in particular looked like they wanted to throw her in the pool. It was hilarious. Kaz was like, I don't even know what to fucking say. Like, Mary was like, I'm sorry, are you all right? Like, her face was like, is everything okay? Like, Boris Johnson. And Faye was like, well, I don't think most of Britain would agree with you. And it kind of set the tone, like, yeah, bitch, we do not fuck with you here. And you could tell that from the whole dynamic of the villa. Firstly, she fucked herself over by telling the girls that evening, even after the dumping, like, she hadn't exposed herself enough. She went to the whole group and said, oh yeah, I've got the ick, which is like, nobody cares. Like, it's really funny when a character that nobody gives a fuck about tells their business every 5 minutes. We don't care, babes. I don't care if you like him. I don't care if you don't. I just don't care. I'm just, at this point, I'm just trying to ignore you, but it's very hard because this whole fucking episode's about you. But anyway, so she told the girls that she's getting the ick and she's just a bit bored and he don't really like, you know, like she likes to enjoy herself and he's just a bit tactile and da da da. And I'm just looking at her like, babe, why do you think you're lit? I don't understand. Like, why do you think you're the exciting one? But whatever. And so she tells all the girls this. And obviously, none of them fuck with her. You can tell. And they have absolutely no loyalty to her. So, yeah, of course, they all ran over to their men and told them while they were spooning and having pillow talk. They said, babes, listen to what this bitch told me because she don't know she's an op. That's basically what they did, because by the next day all the men knew. So yeah, they put Brett on game and they said, yeah, I wouldn't have that. Like, you better go over to her and pattern her, like, the fuck. And he basically was like, yeah, I'm not really like happy with the way you've handled it, because basically everyone knows but me, and the way it's been paying out to me is that you're like kind of done. And I should have left out, but she did actually have a conversation with Brett the night before, but she was very cut. She wasn't saying it with all the vim and chest. She was saying it to the girl. She was like, you know, like, on the day I was a bit bored, you know. I don't think she said she was bored. She just was like, you know, I just want a bit more excitement. She was very ambiguous about it. But so the next day, Brett sticks it on her, kind of, not really. I would have been like, what the fuck have you been saying? But I wouldn't really. But do you know what I mean? Like, he was like quite calm about it, but kind of sticking on her, like, but why? Like, I feel like this wasn't the energy you had basically yesterday when you were telling me that you didn't like me or that you were bored or whatever. And she ended up like, oh, you know what's funny about Priya is that I clocked her. She just chats shit. And you can tell that she's not somebody that she expects people to call her out on her shit, because when someone asks her a question she's not expecting, she's literally like the classic scrambling and tripping over all her words, and suddenly she don't know what to say. So you can tell she's just used to running her mouth and people don't really like ask her many follow-up questions, and she just kind of gets away with it, because I think she thought she'd just blag it and be like, oh no, I didn't really mean you like that, babe. What I meant was, and he was like, no, but like, at the end of the day, I'm not like happy with how you've handled it, because you could have just told me rather than told all the girls. And she was just like, yeah, well, you know, a conversation that I had in confidence with the girls has been repeated to Brett. And it's so funny that she didn't stick it on any of the girls afterwards. Like, why did you tell the guys what I said? Because she knew she couldn't, because, babes, nobody likes you. We don't fuck with you here. Sorry. So we don't care about not repeating your business to people. This just is what it is. So yeah, that was Priya. Very pretty girl, but I'm happy she's gone, honestly. And Faye, oh, Hurricane Faye. I'm even going to keep it brief with her, because I honestly don't even want to waste much energy on her, because she's so draining already. She was particularly vexing me today. She was getting on my nerves, this, because I feel like it's become so apparent now, her main character syndrome. And I know as soon as she comes out that villa, they're going to spin it about how it's the producers. I'm sorry, but you can tell everyone in that house has Faye fatigue. Every single person has Faye fatigue. All of them. So I'm not understand, like, I'm not getting somebody that's this lack of self-awareness. I'm just not understanding. Like, she was just in everybody's conversation trying to make everything about her today. I was so fuming when she interrupted Tyler and Kaz's 2.5 seconds of screen time that they get per episode. I was fuming when she interrupted it to make it a conversation about her. Fucking fuming. Faye, move. Nobody likes you. I know I said that about Priya, but Priya you can just kind of ignore. Faye is just draining, man. Like, you can see it. Look at everyone's face on that villa. They look shook. Like, somebody tweeted today, is Faye Suge Knight? Because what is going on? Like, every time she approached somebody or two people today, they all were so alarmed. Like, oh, is this bitch again? And some of them looked a little bit, you know, wary and like a bit scared. But some of them just looked tired, especially the men. You can tell the men don't fuck with her. And I think that's why I was in a Clubhouse room today. I know Clubhouse is not that lit anymore, but I do dip in every once in a while after Love Island. And I was in a room today where they were saying that Faye's not going to kick off with any of the girls tomorrow because that's what we're expecting for her to go in, because she's found out that they've voted her and Teddy as one of the most incompatible couples. I'm sorry, but the way you shouted the villa down the other day, you can't possibly be that surprised, but fine. So yeah, you can tell that the energy is just like, they just don't really fuck with her. So I think in that room they were saying that she's not going to kick off with the girls because she knows that as soon as she does, she's alienated everyone in that villa because the men don't like her, basically. So and I think that's true. And I think that's why she's taking out on Jake, because I was wondering when I saw the tomorrow night part, I was like, why is she just shouting at Jake like Liberty weren't there too? Like, I'm so confused. But I get it. Liberty's sweet, but she still voted for you, bro. So I'm a bit confused. But she already don't like Jake and she was looking for a reason to stick it on him. So I'm not surprised. Which, you know, I'm not mad at too much because I hate Jake as well. But Jake, I kind of am like, I'm just hoping that Liberty just sees the light at this point. But it's above me now. You know, there's not much else I can do or we can do as viewers. You just, that's what, when I was watching last night's episode, it was so good to see them kind of calling Jake out. But at the same time, I was like, by the time the episode finished, I was like, that needs to be the end of that now. Because it's just not going to be, yeah, it's just going to be a bit pointless to keep going on and on and on about it. Because if your girl is not listening, she's saying she's happy with her man, you just got to let, just got to affirm it and let her move on, you know, and just move on and just let her be happy. This is what she wants and this is what she wants, isn't it? It's hard because when your girl's with a waste man, it must be hard because he just does waste man shit and you just look at her like, really, babes, this is your king. Okay. So I get it. It's hard, but it is what it is. So yeah, Faye just really got on my nerves. She was basically on a rampage trying to look for, you could tell she was trying to look for weak points. I think they did a Big Brother situation where the producers told them you can't tell people who you voted for, because the couples were clearly allowed to discuss between each other their vote, but they did not discuss it with any of the other contestants. So I think it's very clear that the producers have said that you're not allowed to discuss your votes with anybody. But Faye was clearly trying to go around to everybody and pick out clues and say, who's looking uncomfortable? Who's looking nervous? Who voted for me? Babes. And to be fair, I understand her point small, because she was basically saying that it's a bit fake because everyone was jumping in the pool celebrating when we got back together. And now you're all voting for us as the most incompatible couple. That I understand, just because I didn't understand why they were all celebrating, because there's nothing to celebrate in my opinion, but it is what it is. So yeah, I can understand it. But to be fair, at the same time, Faye, you are hardly the easiest person to say shit to, especially shit that's not going to please you. Do you know what I mean? I would never go to you with anything, not because I'm scared, but I don't need the wahala. I don't need the pasa, because you never be my friend. Do you know what I mean? Somebody like you, you're just too much. You're too negative for me. Like, it's very jarring, everything that comes out of her. And I really try to like her. I feel like you guys are going to be a bit surprised, because I have done a bit of a 360 from the last mini-sode that I discussed her in detail, because I was starting to warm up to her and Teddy, but that was before the shouting match. I've very much changed my opinion for her since then. So since, it's just, I've noticed that nearly everything that comes out of her mouth is negative, and people like that are just very jarring and draining. And I think that's part of why she's just having an effect on everyone outside the villa. So I'm sorry, she can't come out and say, producer, I was playing a character, because Narcissus, I don't believe you're that good of an actress. I just don't think you are. Otherwise, you'd have been on Hollyoaks already, or EastEnders or some shit. Do you know what I mean? So, no. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. I just thought it was a bit weird that she was sticking it on everyone and trying to find clues. Like I said, I get why she'd be a bit like, it's a bit snaky considering you were celebrating, but at the same time, you are not the type of person that you make it easy to approach you with shit. It's just not that simple. So I think that's why Millie, I feel like Millie could have a bit more chest just because they're close. So she could try and be a bit more forthcoming. I feel like I can understand Faye's point of view just slightly if we're speaking on Millie specifically, because Millie does kind of tell her what she knows Faye would probably like to hear, just because it is easier. So I do know that I don't think she's trying to be fake. I just think she's just trying to avoid Passa, which I get. But I feel like if you're going to be that close with the girl, at least, you know, tell her. Because even the time before she, where Millie was sitting her down just before she apologized to Teddy, and she was kind of like, you know I shouldn't act like that. Millie weren't going to say all of that until the producers had that conversation and that chat with Faye and the psychologist. You know, she weren't saying all of that until then. And she's like, okay. So she's been told off. So I can come in like this. But yeah, I think Millie's just one of them girls that wants an easy life. So she's not going to say nothing. Liberty, I think Liberty's scared of her. Kaz, I don't think Kaz is scared of her. I just think she ain't got the time for her nonsense. And she's just like, whatever, innit? You go off, sis. But because Kaz don't look particularly like skittish of her, she's just like, oh, I'm not in the mood for all of that shouting, I can't lie. But yeah, so that's Hurricane Faye. I've kind of got into Millie a little bit. That's pretty much all I have to say on her. There's nothing else that she's done apart from vote for Teddy and Faye and talk about it. So, you know, I'm not as in love with her and Lily. Shit, sorry, Millie. Fucking hell, not Lily. God, that was awkward. Good thing I'm not Liam, right? But yeah, so I think that Liam and Millie are much more boring of a couple that people make out. I'm not particularly invested in them, don't care. Whether they're there or not, I honestly hardly ever notice. So I'm not that bothered. Mary, I'm really warming up to Mary. To be fair, I liked her in the beginning. Then I kind of wasn't sure how I felt about her for a small period because I didn't like how she did Abby. I felt like that whole thing with her and Dale and making Abby upset was just a bit unnecessary, and it could have been done in a much better way. But, you know, we don't see everything. Who's to say? Maybe there were some certain conversations that were had off camera that she thought that Abby wouldn't pick Dale kind of thing. Who knows? But yeah, so that kind of was like, for me, because I liked Abby. Abby was just a really sweet girl. So I was just like, I don't know, Mary. That was a bit unnecessary. But I really like Mary. I really, really like her. I think she's got good energy. And I think it's very interesting that her vibe changed once Clarice left. I don't want to go into that because I don't want to look like I'm trashing Clarice. But do you know what I mean? I just think maybe that spoke to a bit of the negative energy that I kind of picked up on with Clarice. That I was trying to give her a chance, but I kind of picked up on it. Because that whole Casa Amor original versus originals was very clicky and separating ourselves. And while I understand there's going to be that natural energy at first because they haven't got to know them as well as the guys, I just felt like her and Mary seemed to specifically want to separate themselves and be like the Casa Amor bad bitches kind of thing. Like, and it probably wasn't intentional. It probably just, that's how it was scripted or that's how it was constructed on camera or whatever. But yeah, that's just what I felt. And as soon as Clarice left, that energy just lifted and she just proper got to bonding with the girls and they're all like friends now. So I think that I really like Mary's energy. I'm very surprised at how much her and Aaron are bonding. I feel like they really are getting along. I'm actually really happy I saved them because I voted to save them on Sunday because there was no other vote for me. It wasn't going to be anybody else. So I'm actually really happy about that because even though I did it by default, I wasn't particularly invested in them as a couple. But now I think I'm starting to warm up to them because they seem really like comfortable with each other. They seem to really, really fuck with each other and really be interested. So be into each other. So I think that's cute. That's nice. I sincerely hope they send a barber to the villa for this man. And his hairline is screaming. I just really, really, no, come on, man. Send a barber to Mallorca for my guy. Although, fuck, the barber will probably have to quarantine. Oh, shit. But come on, man, social media. There's a black barber in Spain, man. Come on, get out there looking. To be fair, though, I don't know if he'd want him to touch his hairline. I know men are very particular about who does their trim. So maybe he'll just be like, I'm already on screaming. I'll firm it until the final. And I'll get my shape up when I go home in it. But yeah, he should flog his barber when he gets back, though. that's what I will say. But I like Mary and Aaron. I really like them. And yeah, one thing I will say before I go on to Chloe. I really just love how Mary just blatantly didn't fuck with Priya. I promise you, as soon as my girl said that thing about Boris Johnson, she was not fucking with her at all. Because when she was whispering over to her to say she was a bit bored on her date, and she was like, are you? Something like that. And then she was like, yeah, you know, like, I sent it to make me copy. Hopefully you'll get it right. Something like that. Priya's just rude. I don't like her. She says a lot of shady, rude things that don't really get picked up on because no one cares about her. Like, I genuinely think that's it. People are not pressed about you, so we don't call you out. But she's made a few shady comments about the villa being dumb and her being the smartest one in there. She said one or two shady things about, oh, like, Brett, isn't it weird that you've never been in love or you never really had, like, a serious relationship? I'm like, no, not really. Like, everyone's experience is different, and 28 is not that, do you know what I mean, it's not that old for you to be like, you never, but whatever. But yeah, so I just really loved how Mary was just like, she's like, don't like, because she says something like, you're a bit of a diva, aren't you? And then she literally, like, as soon as we were in touch, was like, get that bitch out of here to Aaron. Get her out. But yeah, so on to Chloe, man. I can't believe, have I ever warmed up to a character so much in Love Island? Oh, I have. No, not since Sean's niece. AKA Shawnee's. Have I warmed up to a character from hating her so much? Well, not hating her, but, you know, really strongly disliking her. It was mainly my energy for being a Kaz stan, if I'm honest. I was just like, I just didn't like the way she went about the whole Toby and Kaz thing. And I didn't like the fact that she basically just didn't give a fuck about Kaz's feelings at all. I just didn't like that at all. But, you know, she's definitely proven herself since then to be an asset to the villa. To be honest, her and Toby, I'm here, guys. I'm officially a Tobias and Chloe stan. They're Chloe for the win. Fuck it. My friend Narice, which you guys will know from being on the podcast, she's been championing Chloe and Toby for like a week now, saying they're my winners. I don't care. I was like, I love Toby now. Like, I love Tobias. I get it. But your winners, have some shame. Boy, I'm there. They're my winners. They are my winners. What can I say? But yeah, I like Chloe. I'm fucking with Chloe. She's just funny. She's just entertaining, man. She makes you laugh. And I've gained so much respect for her over the last couple of days, just seeing how she's one of the only girls that will seriously pattern Liberty. And I am not, because I see a few people saying that they're a bit surprised that she's so honest with Liberty and not Kaz. I feel like Kaz is very careful in considering Liberty's feelings as her bestie in there, and also trying to be a good friend to her by trying to tell her man shit kind of thing. And balancing between the two are not easy, because I think Kaz did a good job of playing the best friend role last night, where the girls were all kind of giving her that awkward Chrissy Teigen gif face when she said Jake loved her, and they were all like, isn't that a bit convenient, sis? You know? And it was just like, oh, okay. And I'm glad that Kaz kind of remembered, you know, like, let's not be too shitty that we're, you know, this is a big moment for her. We're all kind of just sitting here be negative kind of thing. So I get that you don't want to, because it's hard. Kaz, sorry, look at me discussing Kaz when I'm supposed to be discussing Chloe. But I just want to finish quickly by saying, Kaz was saying, Liberty will kind of say all of these things about issues she's having with Jake. She'll go to him and talk. They'll talk it through, and she'll be like, okay, yeah, I'll jump into conclusions. Okay, like, I've had a bit of reflection. I've realised this, da, da, da. And Kaz is like, even though she'll hear some things that don't really sound right, she's like, who am I to tell you that when you've reflected on something that your take on it is wrong? Kind of thing. I'm like, you know what? Fair. Shrewd and analytical. She's really looking at, she's unpacking things for what they are and not just how she sees it, you know? So I do understand that, but I do also have such a newfound respect for Chloe. She is that girl that you need. You need a Chloe in your life, because she will go to you with honesty, no bullshit, no strings attached. She would literally just give it to you as it is. And she was very diplomatic and sensitive to Liberty's feelings, I felt. Unfortunately, Liberty is just one of those people, I feel like she's one of those people that tells her gut that it's wrong when it's right, just because she wants that to be the case. I'll go on to Liberty in a minute, because I don't want to, you know, keep getting the Islanders, you know, keep crisscrossing and me talking about them. But yeah, like, I just really, really respect Chloe. I love the fact that she was willing to be so honest with Liberty and take herself outside of it, not like Faye and with her main character syndrome, and make everything about her. She fully made it about, I feel like you've been honest with me in here, so I want to give you that same respect. I was like, nah, man, I love Chloe. I really fuck with her. And you can tell her and Toby really suit. Like, when they converse, they're just so well suited. I'm like, oh, I get it now. I get it why you guys were such a... I get it. because you could tell they're very well suited. And I think they'll actually be good together outside this villa. I can't believe I'm saying this. But I feel like they'll actually be good. And I feel like Chloe understands Toby. Do you know what I mean? And she kind of gives him a little bit of a, not an edge, but she kind of, I wouldn't say makes him smarter. But she's not dumb. Do you know what I mean? She acts dopey, but she's on point. Don't be fooled by her, the way she acts. But I think she more kind of makes Toby think about things and not just does, which is good. So yeah, I think they're good for each other. So I'm here for Chloe. I like Chloe. Liberty. Liberty, Liberty, Liberty. My girl Lib. Oh, my girl Lib. Liberty is that girl, man, that she's just so sweet and so nice, but she's also such a good friend to the girls that you just want so much better for her, but you ultimately realize that what can you do in it? You can tell someone how you feel about the situation they're in, but there's not much more you can do other than that. You can't make them do what you think they should do. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like that's the situation at hand with Jake, but where I find it really difficult to accept as a viewer, I guess, is when I see the fact that she herself, not anybody else, not Kaz, not Chloe, not Faye, nobody, she herself will be the one to point out specific things that I've been internally begging her to see. Like Jake's constant being a showman, Jake's, well, that's Faye's word, but you know, Jake constantly being false and constructing fake scenes for the camera, like that moment where he was taking her away from Kaz and when she wanted to celebrate with her when her and Tyler became exclusive. It was very intentional and it was very much, I'm constructing this fake scene so that we can be ensured that we'll get screen time for this. Like they wanted to make themselves like the proud parents, like, oh, look at our girl, she's growing up, her first boyfriend. Like you could tell he really wanted to be like that. Jake had, he's a Love Island fan. He studied the show. He's written down his game plan. He said, find a girl, couple up with her from day one. Scout your options. Make sure you have none. Then wife her before Casa Amor. Survive Casa Amor and pass the ultimate test and go for the win. He's written that down on a napkin and it's in his suitcase somewhere. I promise you. Like, this is so disingenuine. Like, disingenuous? I think, anyway. You know what I'm trying to say. I feel like I said, she's one of those people that her gut is feeling all the right things, but she's just ignoring it because she wants to be happy with Jake. Like, who wants to tell themselves that someone that they love, or Love Island love, should I say, doesn't love them back or doesn't like them the same way they like them? No one wants to tell themselves that. Do you know what I mean? It's not an easy thing to tell yourself, especially when you're not feeling like you're most secure. So of course, when someone tells you all of the most, he's not really telling her the most amazing things, if I'm honest, but you can easily get yourself caught in the fantasy of that person and that relationship and not really see things for what they are, even though your gut is trying to tell you, you know, it's wrong, sis, because she pointed out those things. Like, obviously, the others have noticed him being a bit, is he being a bit fake? Da, 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 da. But I feel like she was the one to bring up the whole constructing scenes, and he keeps saying it's for the show, like, remember on a TV show, like, remember it's Love Island. She brought up him constantly saying that. So clearly in her head, she has arrived at the conclusion, how much of it is for the show and how much of it is for me? Because for me, you've gone on about the show so much, how do I know what's real and what isn't anymore? But for some reason, whenever she sits down with Jake, she just lets him talk her out of all of that and just bamboozle her with his shit chat, because I'm honestly not understanding how it's working on her, because the guy is so dumb. He doesn't know how to string a sentence together. I can't even like fathom how this is working. I think that he was right to tell her he loved her because she was so taken off guard and happy with it. Of course she didn't care about anything after that. And that's essentially what ended up happening and leading up to that awkward moment where all the girls are like, yeah, your man's a fuckboy, but kind of moment. But yeah, it's one of them ones I can't even bother to invest energy in it anymore because they're gonna make it to the end. They ain't gonna get dumped, so she's not gonna see his bullshit until the end when they all come out of the villa and all start doing their interviews. And honestly, I was hoping that they would break up coming straight out the villa. I don't think so anymore. I think she's gonna try and ride it for, even if she does see him truly for who he is, I still think she's gonna try and ride it for a bit, for 6 months, and then his attention is gonna be caught by somebody, always going to break up with her, or it's just not going to work out. That's what, because there's no way that guy is done. He's done the job once he's come out of Love Island. He don't want a girlfriend. He don't want Liberty. And I just hate that for her. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we're all so wrong. But for me, when someone is constructing fake scenes to get screen time, why are we still questioning how genuine they are? Do you know what I mean? Because for me, it doesn't even matter whether maybe you are just trying to play to your strengths in this game and ensure, because at the end of the day, you are kind of at their disposal. You can't really control your own narrative. So you do have to try and work to as much as you can. But I feel like when you're going up, if you're saying it to the person you're partnered up with all the time, for it to stick in their head, like how much of it is real, you're not being real enough, you know? And that's already enough for me. But everyone is different, Cher. And to be fair to her, what options does she really have? If she dumps him now, she's vulnerable. And what's the point? It's only a week left. You know, she might as well ride it out. So I kind of get it as well. Even if she does want to leave him, that the smartest option might just be to wait around. Boy, this is a bit of a longer segment than I thought it was going to be. So unfortunately, there's not enough time for me to go into Kaz the way I want to. But to be fair, there's not much to discuss anyway, because they haven't been given her zero screen time. I'm tired of it. I'm sick. To be honest, I'm just wondering if they fucked at this point, her and Tyler. I doubt it. If they have, she was clever enough to take her mic off or something so they couldn't film it. because I'm sure, you know, as soon as they see you do that shit, they have to put it back on. So, I don't know. Yeah, I'm just trying to, because I feel like the times that people go to bed, I'm tweeting, because I keep going on Twitter and seeing, oh, I saw this person, I saw this, and I have to rewind it, because I'm like, when did you see that? So I don't know if I've been missing all of these moments, but yeah, I don't think they've done the deed. I think they're just going to do, you know, little some hands and tongues there, but that's about it. Because, you know, yeah, no, I don't think Kaz is that girl. I don't think she's fucking on TV still. But it must be really hard there, because you can tell they got a connection and there's a lot of electricity around them. So it must be really hard when you're really into someone and there is a chemistry there. And they're close too, like you can tell, like they're very much all over each other kind of thing. So I would find it really hard not to, I can't lie. Like, although to be fair, it's hard to not be aware of cameras, because literally mics all around, cameras right there. So I get it. It's probably very much in your face. But yeah. Oh, Kaz, I really wish I had more to say about you. Honestly, I'm really scrambling because I did not take any notes tonight. But because you have no screen time, sis, I'm just going to have to say I love you. I'm a stan, I'm a Kaz stan, and I'm so here for every single opportunity that I know is going to be thrown at you as soon as you come out of that villa. It's a pleasure watching you, babes, and I hope you get more screen time tomorrow. Look at me talking to her like she's here and she can hear me, like she's my girl and shit. Anyway, that's my Love Island segment for today, guys, which wraps up our episode, actually. So this has been really weird just having me here, but I appreciate you guys tuning in. All of you stayed till the end. I really appreciate it. And if you could actually leave me some feedback, because this is my first episode where it's just me entirely by myself. So I'd be really, really interested to hear what you guys think. And, you know, if you have any suggestions or, you know, things that you'd like to hear more of me speaking about, just let me know. So you can follow me at underratedpod on Twitter, at the underrated podcast on Instagram. You can also, what can you do now? You can also give me 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. I know I was a bit unsure, but please give me 5 stars. And let me know, you guys, in the comment section in my Instagram and the Twitter when I post. And hashtag underrated pod. What do you think? What do you think of my solo episode? And what do you think of the underrated podcast in general? You know, it's a rebrand, which I just started when did I start this rebrand? Just a couple months ago. So, you know, I'm very, very curious to hear what you guys think so far. But until then, it has been your girl, Hannah OJ. Like I said, follow me at the underrated podcast on Instagram, underrated pod on Twitter, and hashtag underrated pod. And let me know what you thought of this episode. Bye, guys.
I got a hot sauce in my bag, swag.